Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. We will call to order our meeting of the Fire Technical Advisory Committee, and today is Friday, June the 7th of 2019. I'm Marlita Peters. I'm going to help facilitate your meeting today, and we'll begin by calling roll to confirm quorum. If you would, TAC members answer by saying here. Hamid Bahadori. Pete Schwab.
Here.
Joe Belcher.
Here.
Jeff Gross will be absent today. Robert Hamburger.
Present.
Brad Schiffer.
The chair says no, it's not working. Just email me.
I'm sorry?
The chair says no, it's not working. Just email me.
The chair what?
Says no,
let
not
me finish roll call and then we'll do that. Give Brad him, Schiffer.
Give him the number.
Joe Holland, Tony Applebeck, and Jim Schock.
Here.
We're having some technical difficulties. If y'all would hold just a moment, let's see if we can get the chair on the line, please.
Marlita, good morning. This is Hamid. I'm on now.
Good morning, Hamid. Thank you. That does give us a quorum. Let's go ahead and move ahead. I think they're working on the technical issues with people calling in, and we'll check again for other TAC members who may join in just a couple of minutes. We'd like a motion to approve the agenda as posted.
Belcher, second Hamburger.
Belcher, Hamburger. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Do we have any TAC members who have joined the line that missed roll call?
Joe Holland.
Joe Holland.
Brad Schiffer.
And Brad Schiffer. Thank you. All right. And Mr. Gross is out today. Mr. Applebeck has resigned, so that does give us a full quorum. Next, we'd like to approve the previous minutes of April 4th of 2019.
Belcher, move approval.
Second, Schwab.
All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? I will introduce staff today. Again, I'm Marlita Peters.
Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Tom Campbell.
Jim Hammer.
And Chris, I believe we have you on the line today.
Yes, Marlita. Thank you.
Thank you. Our item of business is to discuss or consider and discuss DEC Statement 2019-014 by Alan Frenfrock of Frenfrock DMC. Mr. Frenfrock, are you on the line, and would you like to give us a brief overview of your request?
This is Mike Fagley with Frenfrock. I'll be representing Alan. Basically, what we're asking for is a decision whether or not the access doors in a fire-rated wall need to be in accordance with the UL 1784 for the smoke and draft control assembly. In our research, we haven't found any access doors that are tested to that standard. So that brings up the question.
Thank you, Mr. Fagley. Mr. Madani, you have staff analysis?
Yeah. Good morning. This is Mo Madani. I think everybody probably has the opportunity to review the staff analysis as posted on the agenda. As you recall, this DEC statement DS 2019-014 came before the TAC last April and was reviewed, and then the TAC have deferred, or actually took recommended that this DEC statement be deferred to allow the petitioner to provide testing result of the panels and provide photographs for the location of the panel. I think, as you see in the attachments on the agenda, the petitioners have provided the additional information, and we can go over it shortly. However, to refresh your memory about this request, the petitioner mainly is seeking a declaratory statement on whether the code classifies an access panel door as a smoke and draft control door, which would require it to be rated by UL 1784. The petitioner described or provided specific facts about the project. He stated that as this is mainly for a dormitory project for Florida A&M University, and that the building owner requested that the dorm room fan coil unit be serviceable from the corridor. So we're talking about locating such panel door or access door within the corridor. Our corridor wall are classified as fire partition with a 1 hour fire rating. And then it stated that the assembly or the fire door has been tested to whether it has to be tested to UL 1784 mainly for smoke resistance, and the size of this panel is 18 inch wide by 57 high in terms of the height, and the space where this will be, where the mechanical equipment will be located, does not communicate with any occupiable space. Looking at the Florida Building Code, really, the first of all, the code as written, the code as written, the section that we are talking about is section 716 of the Florida Building Code, opening protectives. And as you go through that section of the code, mainly it provides for the fire resistance and the treatments of how to protect the openings. And when it comes to protecting fire door assembly within the fire-rated assembly, it says under section 716.5.2, other types of assembly. It says fire door assembly with other type of door, including swinging elevator door, horizontal sliding fire door, etc., shall be tested in accordance with NFPA 252 or UL 10B. That's for fire rating, which is this, it seems, the access door panel that is in question has been tested to UL 10B. But then the code continue and say under 716.5.3, door assembly in corridor and smoke barrier. So it's really singled out, you know, those doors to be incorporated into the corridor. It says fire door assembly required to have, for those fire door assembly within the corridor, it says fire door assembly required to have a minimum fire protection rating at 20 minutes were located in the corridor. And it says, you know, the fire rating has to be in accordance with UL 10. Then it'll continue under the same section. It says for door assembly in corridor under 716.5.3.1 says smoke and draft control. Fire door assembly shall meet the requirement for smoke and draft control. And it says assembly test shall be tested according to UL 1784. That's what's in the code. And there's no exceptions really for the size of the door and etc. So based on this, also the code, if you want to look, it defines what a fire door assembly. It says any combination of a fire door, a frame hardware, and other accessory that together provide a specific degree of fire protection to the opening. So it talks about the fire door assembly is mainly to protect an opening. There is no determination here whether we're talking about small opening, large opening, et cetera. Now, based on all this, I think before you, we have put the question and two options as an answer to the question. Question, does the code classify an access panel as a smoke and draft control door, which would require it to be rated per UL 1784? The answer, there is an option one and option two. The option one, which is the petitioner answer to the question, petitioner respectfully believes the answer to the question is no, since fire-rated access panels are not tested to UL 1784. We do not believe that the code intend to classify these panels as control door. Otherwise, we feel that they would have been tested to the standard years ago. Option two, staff. And that's really just taking what's in the code and the requirements of the codes. Our staff answer is that to the question is yes. As per 716.5.3.1, smoke and draft control, the access panel in question must meet the requirement for smoke and draft control door assembly tested in accordance with UL 1784. One thing that you want to look at is the additional information that's provided by the petitioner. The petitioner really provided access door and frame assembly as listed, which is similarly listed for ceiling application. And also, if you look at the certification in the back, it is certified as an access type fire door. So it's the assembly itself is listed and certified as a fire door. And it seems like, if I'm not mistaken, and I defer to the petitioner, it seems the application of this product is limited to ceilings. I didn't see anything there which says it can be used in walls. Maybe I missed something. But anyway, that's what I have for you guys. And if you have any questions about the staff analysis, please do. Thank you.
TAC members, any clarifying questions for Mr. Madani or for the opponent?
Jim Schock here. I have a clarifying question.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Melita. As I recall, the last time we talked about this, and I just wanted to confirm this, was that this was opening an opening to access into a shaft which was not communicating with any other habitable spaces, and the ductwork and everything was located in the shaft, and therefore there was no possibility of smoke transfer to other habitable spaces. Am I correct in that?
I'm yes, but no. I wouldn't call it necessarily a shaft since it doesn't communicate from floor to floor, but it is a space that is not communicable because the ductwork from the unit goes to a wall and for the supply in return to come out of the space, so that space is totally enclosed to the livable space. But to term it a shaft, I think of shafts as going from floor to floor,
and
this is separated at each level, so it's an encapsulated closet, so to speak.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you for the clarification.
Any other TAC members with questions or comments?
Yeah, Schiffer, I have a question, and I think the best thing to look at is the floor plan sketch you sent.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm trying to figure out is where the rated walls. It looks like there's two units back-to-back, so I assume that wall between them is a tenant separation. Is that right?
That's correct.
Then the other wall, the corridor wall on the right, obviously has one door which will meet the requirements. But why do you have the door, the access door, kind of like a bump out on that wall?
That was just the way the architect drew it. It's it actually will be flush on the face of the wall.
Okay. Because the concern I have is that you do have to maintain the rating through that whole system. Now, normally with access panels, we use them to replace a membrane, for example, in a ceiling. If we need access to a damper or something, we cut a hole in the drywall and we put a rated access panel, which is what you're showing.
Right.
I'm not sure how that would protect the whole, you know, the design, the construction of the wall. I mean, especially the way you draw it on the outside. I mean, I could see, obviously, it'd be inline, and it would protect the rating of the, you know, the corridor membrane of that rated corridor wall, but I lose what's happening to the membrane on the inside. And when you say it doesn't communicate to a space, essentially the air in that system is going to be, you know, it's going to be free to flow or designed to flow into the, whatever the unit is that it's servicing. But the concern is that, you know, if you look at a door is rated, a door has a jam detail that receives the inner and outer membrane, but I don't see that happening here.
Well, there is a, also in part of the package, there is a cut sheet of the access door.
Yes.
As you see, it's flange, and actually the flange will be flush with the quarter face of the wall, and the door itself, which is 2.5 inches basically thick, will go into the wall cavity.
It will be within the opening, not as shown in this case.
Not as shown. That, why they drew it that way, I don't
know. And that sure is the outside membrane had been cut. Well, what's going on with the inside membrane in your detail at the opening? Obviously, we know what it's doing at the door. It's going in behind the jamb. But what is happening to it in your detail?
The framing around that opening will be solid, so that the inside membrane would actually be the inside of the access door.
So I think what you're saying is that...
Because the access door itself is rated for 2 hours.
Right, so you're saying that the metalwork, the flange work on that membrane would be fastened such that it would be flush with the inside membrane? I mean... The membrane's obviously not going into a jam kind of detail, but it would be flush with that?
Well, the flange would be flush with the quarter membrane.
But on the other side? I think
on the other side,
quarter with an access panel, easy. That's not bothering me. The back side of the door, does the rating go around and actually enclose the coil unit?
Well, that's what I was saying. It's a typical fire door installation where the wall itself is framed all around the opening to maintain the rating of the wall, and then the access door itself maintains the rating for that opening that it fits into.
Because, like I said, you know, my use of access panels and is that it's essentially a way to, you know, protect an opening you're cutting in a membrane, not necessarily the whole wall, but it, you know, it's anyway, that's my
guess. Yeah, it's yeah, typically you're accessing the component that's installed in a wall cavity, except in ductwork, because of the, if you have an fire-rated access door to get into a fire damper or some control damper, it would be a similar situation as this, but you would have a shaft-type enclosure around it, where, as opposed to having the encapsulated floors here, we have an enclosed room or cavity. But any ductwork that's going up through the floors, the access door to get into that would be fire rated.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Why wouldn't you have just used a regular fire rated door cut down in size to match what you're doing? Obviously, it doesn't even have to go to the ground. It would just be essentially a door in an opening. You want a rather large opening anyway. Well, and the virtue of that is that we could really be guaranteed that the rating of the wall is not lost on either member.
We didn't. It was an architect's choice, and I don't know the availability of the cut-down door. If they have their testing would accommodate the size change, I don't have a definite answer for that because I'm not familiar with how these are rated.
Okay. Because that would be a no-brainer then for what's happening here. The other thing is that
if they are rated for reduced sizes, but typically doors are going to be manways, and
correct.
You usually would not have something this small.
Right, but normally if something's rated big, a smaller version of it is better. Hermaphrodite laws and stuff. That's pretty much it. It does scare me that the architect draws it on the outside. He may be doing some kind of detail that would totally lose continuity of the interior and exterior membrane of the corridor wall. And the corridor wall is required to be smoke protected.
Let me, this is Mo Mandani. Let me ask you a question. Reading the listing of the product that really you're trying to use, it seems it's only listed for ceiling applications. I didn't see that it's listed for wall application. Am I missing something?
Are you reading the certificate of compliance?
Yes. And
that says it's maybe installed in masonry or non-masonry locations, and it also says
it says a lot of room says really only. I just want to, you know, it seems like it's listed for ceiling.
I don't see that in this.
This is Joe Holland. I'm looking at the Babcock Davis information you sent, and it does say for walls.
Yeah, just a number of things was sent, but some of it says really mainly ceiling.
It says it's tested vertical UL10B. But I have a...
Well, the one says it's ceiling horizontal and wall vertical installation.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I need some clarification. The information in this Babcock Davis stuff you sent, I see everything in here having to do with fire because this is a corridor wall. Smoke is going to be also a huge concern in that we don't want to fill the corridor up with smoke. Do you have any information? I mean, does the UL-10B test, I'm not that familiar with it. I know it's a fire door test, but I'm not that familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it look at smoke? Some of the things or the things that we're talking about, it's in the building code for 1784, which is primarily smoke from what I see there. So do you have any information as to smoke control? Because like I said, that's an important factor because we're dealing with a corridor.
No, I do not have any information on that. I don't believe the 10B does address the smoke control that is covered by 1784, but none of the manufacturers of access doors test the UL 1784.
Yeah, I understand that.
Which, my questions was, okay, you don't, why? Because my competitors don't, was the typical response.
Yeah.
Brad again. Joe, that is a good question. The hatches I'm familiar with do have sealants on and stuff, so you would imagine, you know, obviously to keep fire from going through it, they're keeping smoke maybe from going through it too.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, Brad. I was just hoping they would have, like I said, I'm not that familiar with the 10B test, so I don't know what the past failure mode is and whether or not they're looking at smoke leakage and passes of hot gases. It just talks about the 250-degree heat. Oh, that's all I can see that they were concerned about.
From my experience with other fire testing that we've been involved in, those tests strictly address heat transfer and flames. They don't necessarily address smoke.
Okay.
Are there any other TAC members with clarifying questions? Is there anyone from the public with comments or questions?
My only thing on this is the since we aren't truly communicating to a occupiable space, I really think the intent of the code was for when they're saying fire doors, they're assuming that that's going into a from one space to another occupiable space. That would be the way I tend to interpret it.
Schiffer with a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Schiffer. And thank you, Mr. Fagley, for your final comments.
But what you're saying is not communicating with the space it serves, correct? What you're really meaning is not communicating with the corridor or any other unit.
Well, the space around the air conditioner is totally enclosed, and there's no openings. It would have to go through a wall to get into the occupiable space.
But the ductwork or anything doesn't go through
the ductwork
space.
It's connected from the wall to the unit and to the unit back to the space. So it's going through other partitions that are sealed around the duct.
And you have smoke and fire dampers there.
I do not believe those walls are rated.
Gentlemen, for the sake of the recording and our transcriptionist, please state your name when speaking.
That was Joe Holland.
Thank you. Does that complete your questions, Mr. Schiffer?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. If we have no further comment from the public or TAC members clarifying questions, TAC, it'll be back to you now solely for discussion and a motion.
I have one more question.
And sir?
This is Joe Holland. This requirement, and how long has this been in the code, the 17, we're about the 1784? Is that something new, or has that been in there? Does anybody know?
I think really, let me see, if you look at the marking on the margin, let's see how second for the requirement. I think this is something that, let's see, 17. This has been in the code. The way I see it, either under, it is from international building code requirements. This is no marking on the margin, assuming this also existed under the 2012 international building code and the 2015.
And Mr. Schiffer, Joe, the requirement for smoke protection of corridor walls has been in for a long, long time.
Okay.
Jim Schock here. I'll make a motion and see how it goes. And that would be, providing that the unit itself is sealed and that the space does not communicate with a habitable area. And I would make the motion that the fire door without a smoke seal as submitted by the applicant is appropriate and could be approved.
Felt your second.
Any further discussion, TAC members?
This is Peach Walsh.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to have to recuse myself from this as FinFrock is one of our larger customers.
Thank you, sir.
Schiffer has a comment on the motion. That one problem I have, though, is the way the drawing is done, and especially when they state that that's really not how it's going to be built. I'm a little uncomfortable giving anybody the impression that's the right way to detail that situation.
This is Mike Fagley.
Mr. Fagley, it's at the TAC now.
Yes.
The TAC members would have to approve a comment from you at this time.
Schiffer would approve it.
Thank you.
I'd like to hear it, Joe Holland. I'd like to hear it.
What I was going to say is that this drawing is still in the process of getting to the development stage of the final drawings. It is not the final drawing for the project yet.
But I would like to make sure, and the motion maker, that the drawing is removed from the motion and that somehow clearly state that this motion does not accept that detailing. And then the other question, in the motion, it stated that the area, and let's say we're talking area, but what we're really talking about is the atmosphere in the fan coil chamber, you say, does not connect to the atmosphere in the unit that it's providing conditions to. And Jim's motion was kind of clear that that's not the case. In other words, what is the fan
coil? The unit was sealed.
Jim Schock, is that what you're getting at, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, of course it's part of the occupiable space.
This is Hamid. I have a couple of points to make here. On Mr. Schock's motion, I think we will be rewriting the code if we accept that motion. So I just want you to think about it before you vote. It is clearly, if you're going to consider this to be a door or an opening that needs draft protection, that requirement has been in the code for a long time. I just did a quick search as late as 2003 IBC, that requirement's in the code. So I understand the predicament that the applicant is in. They do have a solution. They could put the access from the inside of the unit and don't penetrate the corridor wall. So that's always an option. I think if you're going to allow an unlisted device to be installed on a corridor wall, which is clearly going to communicate with the unit because the wall to the unit is not a rated, wall around the equipment to the unit is not a rated wall, and there's no fire or smoke damper in that wall. So you're basically allowing continuous or potential smoke penetration from the unit into the corridor. So I just want you to kind of think about that motion, the way it's presented. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This is Momadani. If you allow me to say something here, I think really Hamidi has really touched on it. You know, declaratory statements is not really to revise the code, not to provide exceptions to a requirement in the code. If you read the code requirement, it's very clearly, you know, talks about protection of openings. It talks about a fire door assembly. It talks about there's a fire door assembly in the corridor. That should be rated for both fire resistance and also smoke. There is no allowances I see or an exception, whether the space is sealed or no sealed, whether I think, as you know, the space is going to house mechanical equipment, and there's an access door. And as Mr. Holland stated, the objective of the whole thing is to really make sure you don't disable the use of the corridor in case of fire. You don't want smoke to go in there. But in general, yeah, I think you want to be careful of really writing a code, a deck statement by revising the code. I think if there's an exception needed, that's something could be done through a code change process. Because it's a door. So what you know, next time and somebody else will come and say, well, I have this size of door too. I'm going to use it to house certain things, and I'm not going to comply with the smoke requirements. So I think we need to be careful, you know, with regard to not really revising the code in this case.
If I may, Jim Schock here, if I may.
Yes.
I just wanted one final comment, and that's, you know, my belief is that the intent of the code was really, when I talked about door, was communicating spaces where people are going back and forth, where you want to protect one room from getting smoke infiltration. And I'm not viewing this so much as a fire door as I am an access panel. And it's not communicating with habitable space. But that being said, that's where I was coming from, is I just don't think that the code meant to be, when it talked about fire doors, I think it's meant to be a door. So anyway, that's all I have.
Mr. Shock, as the maker of the motion, do you want to withdraw, rephrase, or take the vote?
Well, I think it's important. What I'd like to do, if we're going to get this thing off dead center, let's take the vote. If it gets turned down, then the motion will have to go the other way. And that's fine with me, too. I'm just trying to get this thing moving along.
This is Joe Holland, and I'm sympathetic to the petitioner, and that I understand, this, and I like what Jim Shea said about it being an access panel. And because it's an access panel, do we need to consider this as having to comply with the fire door requirements in the building code? And really, that to me, I guess, is the basis for the question, is this a fire door? If this is a fire door, then I would say we have to defeat this motion. If we don't want to consider this as a fire door and as an access panel, then that should be what our motion is this is not a fire door, it's an access panel, and therefore we feel it should be allowed.
Shipper has a comment.
Go ahead, sir.
One thing, our code for a while has treated all kinds of openings as openings. I mean, whether it's whatever name you want to give it, it's an opening in a wall, and it has to meet the requirements of that wall. End of that point. Jim, have you thought about your motion to not endorse this drawing? I mean, there's issues in there, maybe even handicap, but nothing to do with this. But the way it's detailed, that wall looks like it could communicate the atmosphere within the wall itself, the rated wall, into the partition wall separating the tenants and everything. And I just don't like, the fact that we use hatches to maintain a membrane, we really don't use them to create wall ratings.
It's kind of hard to comment because the proponent himself has said that this is not a final drawing, and that it probably the drawing itself should be changed a little bit. I would guess I would say that the drawing would not be part of the proposal.
And I think the way to do that might be, this ship again, might be to note that it in no way endorses the drawing.
Right. And I would also agree with a modification of the proposal that Joe Holland made, that it should be classified as an access panel and not a fire door.
I second that, Joe Holland.
Well, you need to kind of maybe you have two motions on the floor. Maybe you need, if you're going to go with Joe Holland's motion, which is really mainly to state that the answer to the question is no. The product in the question, access panel, is not a fire door, and for that is not subject to 716.5.3.1. That's what's really you're trying to arrive at, then the other issue with regard to the ceiling and all that, it'll kind of be moot. So if you want to stick with...
This is Hamid. I got one comment. So I just want to understand, for the benefit of the committee. So imagine you have a corridor, and you have large mechanical rooms, electrical rooms, and other type of facilities on one side of the corridor or both sides of the corridor. So you're going to allow people just to put panels there and not call them the door and just keep on going all the way down the corridor, it'd be okay. Because that's what you're basically saying.
This is Joe Holland, and what we're saying is it would also have to meet the fire rating requirement for the wall in which it is being located.
There's two types of walls, right? Corridor walls are treated differently. So this works in a different rating, like in a different wall rating that is not a corridor, but corridor walls have a different requirement.
Mr. Schock, you had a comment?
Yeah, I guess I was going to say, in response to Habib's comment, is that this deck statement is specific to a product and a particular installation. I think, you start having electrical rooms and all that kind of stuff, then you're accessing those rooms. You're walking through the door to go in those rooms and do things. I don't see that as the case here. That's my only point.
Belcher with a comment.
Mr. Belcher?
I seconded Jim's motion, and I tend to agree with Jim that this is not really a fire door. However, in looking at the code and in listening to the chairman's comments, I don't know that the code really gives us the leeway to say this is not a door. The documentation submitted all calls it a fire door. Everything's a door, and I'm a bit uncomfortable with. I do believe that Hamid's correct. We're to be changing the code. We're not going on what's in the code. And I think that's the same dilemma staff found itself in, and that's why they came up with the answer that they came up with. Thank you.
Do you want to withdraw your second, Mr. Belcher?
I would do that.
Okay.
It sounded like there was another motion on the floor anyway, so.
Joe, and this is Jim Schock. I understand where you're coming from. It's a good point. They weren't asking us about an access panel. They were asking us about an access door. So I understand that.
So we either need another second or the motion fails and we need a new motion.
I thought Joe Holland named him. I thought there was another motion made there.
I think Joe was just seconding the amendment to call it a panel instead of a door.
At this point, we would need an amendment to the motion, or we need a new motion.
My motion died of lack of a second, right?
Yes.
So you need a new motion at this point?
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at, we need to talk about it a little bit more. I agree that I don't believe this is a fire door. I think Jim is right on target when he's saying that it's not something that you're going to open up to access a room. And I'm, looking, I don't have the code open, so I'm just kind of looking at what we have here. Looking at 716.5.2, which was other types of assemblies, where it does talk about bottom or side and chute intake doors, which this is not that, but it could be closely resembling the requirements for something like that.
Is this Mr. Holland?
Yes, it is. I thought I identified myself. I'm sorry.
Joe, you need to go to this. This is Belcher. Joe, you need to look at 716.5.3. That's the one.
I'm looking at that too.
Yeah.
Which it says 252, which is the old NFPA test for fire doors.
Okay. Joe, also. Joe, if you look at the definition of fire door assembly, it says any combination. Of fire frame, hardware, and other accessory that together provide a specific degree of fire protection to the opening. So
yeah.
If you if you find this device has all that, the hardware and all that, so is it a file?
What I'm looking at is Babcock. This is Joe Holland again. What I'm looking at is Babcock Davis report that they sent us. And the very first sentence says, fire-rated access panels. So they're not even calling it a door there or a fire door. They're calling it a fire-rated access panel. And I do agree that smoke is, to me, a huge concern because this is a corridor. So I do agree with Ahmad with that. I'll float a motion. Although the petitioner has requested information concerning whether or not this has to be tested in 1784 as a fire door would be, we consider this to be an access panel and not a fire door. Therefore, those sections don't apply.
Let me rephrase this if you want to. Is this, we can do an answer. The answer to the question is no. The product in question is access panel and is not a fire door. And for that, it is not subject to 716.5.3.1.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have a second?
I'll second. Jim Schock here. I'll second it for discussion.
Any further discussion, TAC members?
Schiffer has a comment. And Mo, it's kind of to the language there. Up in 5.2, they use the term fire shutter assembly. Do you think that might be the best one to use?
To me, when I read it, I could not go there. So if you want to go there, guys, you're welcome. To me, it's really, as Hamidi said, as really being stated by really, Mr. Holland and all that, and Joe Belcher, is a door. How much makeup you want to put on it? Is it a door or not? Is it a protection and opening or not? So I think you need to answer those questions. I did look at it so many times, and I tried to get an answer that really will help, but, I don't know. I looked at the definition of the door, fire door assembly, looked at, but if you feel like you can go there, you're welcome to it. Sure, I don't have a problem.
Well, just semantically trying to take us there. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Belcher.
Belcher, I just wanted to point out to the TAC that the title of UL-10B is Standard for Fire Tests of Door Assemblies. That's the standard title, so.
Yep.
Good point, Joe.
I'm sympathetic with Sintrock's issue, but I just feel like we're aging around with what the code says. I prefer to put a code change in to address it. Thank you.
Any
based on Joe's comment, I think I'll withdraw my second based on Joe's comment.
Yeah, this is Joe Holland. I withdraw my motion.
Okay, Elster,
move approval of staff recommendation.
Schiffer will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept staff recommendation number two, option number two, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the roughest one we've done in a while.
Any further comments from the public or from TAC members?
Just a reminder that Schwab recused himself on the vote.
Thank you very much.
This is Mike Fagley. I just want to thank everybody for their time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Fagley.
And Mike, this is Brad Schiffer. I think you will find success if you really do chase a smaller fire door used as the access panel. You might get the size you want. All right, thank you.
Any further comments? Hearing none, we'll do a final roll call. Answer by saying here. Hamid Bahadori.
Here.
Pete Schwab?
Here.
Joe Belcher?
Here.
Robert Hamburger?
Here.
Brad Schiffer?
Joe Holland.
Joe Holland?
Here.
Jim Schock?
Here.
Thank you. It is 10:50. We're adjourned. Have a good weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job, Marlene.
Thank you.
So basically, go down and see whether it was a door or not. A door or fell.
It's a door. Thank you, Mel. It's like, you know, because also it's a corridor. You want to protect it from smoke. Otherwise, you know, you're, as was stated. Thank you.